The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right. We are entering the danger zone, heading for trouble and steering clear of it. This is the Danger Zone. David Trainer from New Constructs joins me now. At New Constructs, they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And David comes here each week to discuss things that are dangerous. What makes them dangerous? Typically, it's that when you dig in at the footnotes level, which is how they do their research at New Constructs, you find out that the top level stuff is misleading, not accurate. And the result there is that there's a picture that the public isn't seeing. That means the public doesn't know exactly what they're looking at. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com, where they not only have their most attractive and most dangerous lists and more, but they blog about their danger zone picks, so you can get more information if you want to double check anything about what you hear today. You can also follow them on Twitter at newconstructs. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
ACI Worldwide.
Danger, danger.
ACI Worldwide. It's ticker symbol ACIW. I don't know a whole lot about this company. What's the trouble here? I know that they are software. They're a software company that is involved in the electronic payments business. But other than being sort of your classic aggressive growth small cap stock, what's the problem here?
Sort of like what you said at the top there, Chuck. I mean, this is a classic example of what we call the high-low fallacy and acquisition-driven earnings and revenue growth that is actually completely misleading because the economics of the business are headed in the opposite direction. As I've mentioned on some shows before, it's been a little while, but there's a accounting sort of loophole where as long as a company with a higher PE buys a company with a lower PE, regardless of the underlying economics, as long as the high PE company buys low PE company, earnings per share go up in the acquisition. Revenues always go up in an acquisition because you're just combining two companies. But we don't just care about revenues. We care about profit. And then we care about profit relative to the amount of capital required to get that profit or to acquire that profit. And when you look at that full picture, as we always like to do, we're seeing a business where the profits are negative and declining, even though the accounting earnings are positive and rising.
How out of whack are we talking about these numbers?
So the non-GAAP results, which are better than the GAAP results, the non-GAAP numbers have grown from $50 million to $95 million in 2015. That's from 2011 to 2015. While economic earnings have gone from $10 million to negative $26
million. Wow. Why hasn't the stock price recognized this? Is it just that, again, everybody's looking at the top line numbers?
We think so. You know, people are pay too much attention to non-GAAP. And, you know, we've made a big deal about that. and we think that potentially another issue is their backlog, which they value at a rather high value. And it's a similar situation to what we saw with SolarCity. Right, which was a danger zone stock that ended up falling precipitously. And a lot of the reason that SolarCity was propped up was because of its retained value, which was effectively a backlog type of concept. And basically, the assumptions that are propping up ACIW's backlog are by themselves or individually may not be that big a deal, but they got five major assumptions, very kind of aggressive assumptions, that not only have to all be true, but they have to be true for 5 years or 60 months straight. And we think that that's a big risk. And it's probably going to unravel. And when it does, we think that'll be a catalyst. We also think the fact that they're no longer going to be able to grow at historical rates could soon be a catalyst. We also think that there's potential risk to missing earnings because operating profit after tax is going down. Economic earnings are going down, even though accounting earnings have been going up. And you can't maintain that forever.
Ultimately, what's the fair value price? And I know you can never name the catalyst, but what wakes people up to the fact that this stock is mispriced?
We think that it's pretty significantly overpriced at $21 today. So, for example, if they can maintain their current margins and grow profits by 5% compounded annually for the next decade, the stock is worth $9. Keep in mind, profits have been declining over the last few years, right? And we're seeing a negative trend on that front as opposed to a positive trend. The current stock price implies that they're going to maintain their current margins and grow profits by 10% compounded annually for the next 12 years, even though consensus revenue numbers are just for 4% growth in the next year.
And it sounds like $9, that's kind of optimistic here. $9 would be more than a 50% haircut, but it actually sounds like that's somewhat optimistic here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about a lot of these danger zone stocks, almost all of them, Chuck. I mean, the expectations baked in the stock prices are just outrageous, no matter what kind of scenario. And in our report, we go through some acquisition scenarios, too. You know, in the acquisition scenarios, we assume that they practically double margins and are able to grow at 10% compounded annually for 5 years, right, which is more than double consensus estimates and significantly higher margins on top of that. And only then, you know, in a scenario where someone wants to buy the company and not make any money, like a value neutral deal, only then can you justify $21.
Well, it is ACI Worldwide, and you just heard it. You can make the extreme case that it might be worth what it is now, but it's easy to make the case that it's worth about half or less than half of what it is right now. That's why ACI Worldwide is in the danger zone. David, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Great to see you too, Chuck, and have a great week too.
David Trainer is the president of New Constructs. For more information on how they do their research, to read more about their thinking on their danger zone pick, go to newconstructs.com. Follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. The Market Call is next. Jason Brown from Fund X will be here when Money Life returns right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.